Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. You know, one of the most honorable professions in the world, and most important, obviously, is that of being a nurse. Now, normally you encounter a nurse when you go into a hospital, of course, or into a doctor's office. That's where primarily you see them or encounter them. But our story today is of a nurse who is a little bit different. She has her own office, and people come to see her. And people, doctors rather, refer patients to come see her in certain situations where they know she can be of help. She has been a guest with us before here on Close Up Talk Radio last week. Her name is Shirley Furman. She has an absolutely amazing story. She does a lot of things to help people, and over the course of some 30 years, she's helped more than 1,500 men and women to achieve mental and emotional release from scars and fears to help clear the way to empower themselves. She takes them on a journey from merely surviving to thriving, which is so important. Some of the key areas of focus that she works on: sleep issues, insomnia, stress, anxiety and panic, struggling parents, depression and grief, fears and phobias, and weight loss, as well as smoking cessation and pregnancy and postpartum issues. Those are all the kind of things she focuses on because she applies her tools and philosophies to help them. As she points out, everybody's looking for comfort, safety, and peace and joy. And hypnosis, by the way, is one of the tools she uses to help people with. She especially enjoys the people who say they are so pragmatic they don't believe they can be hypnotized, and then within 10 to 12 minutes later, they are deep asleep in a trance. Hers is an amazing story. If you heard her last week, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to explore some different areas of her background today and find out why she went on the educational journey that she did. She has an extraordinary background, and let me point out, she has credentials that include such things as a bachelor's degree in music education, a master's degree in counseling, a master's degree in nursing, and certification as a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. She is also certified in CBTI, that's Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Insomnia. She's certified in hypnotherapy and neuro-linguistic programming. She has also studied integrated wellness, meditation, and breath work. She has obviously an insatiable curiosity. She loves to learn new things and new therapies and add those therapies to her toolkit as a nurse. And she really actually has what is known as an integrative healing practice. And it is really such a delight to have her back with us. She's based in Newport Beach, California, one of the garden spots of the world. She has an amazing website, and I'm going to give it to you as we go along this morning or this afternoon. So you'll be able to learn how to get in direct contact with Shirley if you would like to. So let's bring her on the air now from California, Shirley Furman in Newport Beach. Good morning to you, Shirley. How are you today? Nice to have you back.
I'm great. How are you doing?
Listen, I'm doing great. I'm excited to talk to you. I love the field of nursing. I'm married to a nurse, so I know what nursing is all about. I find yours you're really unique. What I really find amazing about you is the educational journey you went on to get to where you are today. You know, most nurses, they go to college, they get a nursing degree, or they were, you know, they were trained in hospital nursing, you know, years ago. Yours is different. Tell me a little bit about why you selected to do, you know, study the way you have, the extensive way you have.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it has been a long, winding journey. And ironically, when I was in it, I kept thinking, like, why can't I just focus and stay on one path? And I saw it more as a weakness. But in hindsight, it's turned out to be a huge gift and blessing that I've been able to pull from each of the paths I started on and help them all come together to help me become more of an integrative nurse. And my first degree was in music education, and you'd think that had nothing to do with what I do now, but interesting, it did, because music is like a window into your soul, a window into your subconscious, your core center. And that opened that curiosity and search to understand more about the subconscious, not to mention the fact that music just adds to everything, including hypnotherapy.
Let me interrupt you for a moment and ask you, when you went to school to study music, a bachelor's degree in music education, did you think you were to teach music? Is that what your thought was at the time?
Interesting. I was married to a medical student, and I hung out with the medical students for a long time, and I found I had a real passion for medicine, and I even enrolled in medical school in France, but by the end of the summer, hanging out with all the medical students, I realized I was a little different. I was more interested in talking to the patients, learning about them, helping them problem solve than diagnosing. So I dropped that enrollment and instead enrolled in nursing school.
And well, that's interesting. You never really did get going much in education, in teaching music then, did you?
I just taught for about a year, and I enjoyed it, but I felt more drawn into medicine, and so I got my degree as a registered nurse. And as a nurse, I was both a pediatric nurse and later a labor and delivery nurse.
Okay. So what happened? Did you find you were a little disenchanted, or do you wanted to learn more? What made you keep on going?
I'm never disenchanted. I enjoy learning at every level, as is attested by my path. But I did find that I was getting in trouble a lot with my supervisors and my reviews. My reviews kept coming back high marks, doing really well, but I kept getting this negative review in this one box that said, she's late handing out her meds by about 5-10 minutes because she spends too much time talking to the patients. And I was embarrassed and humiliated, and I tried working on it. And after a few years, I went, well, maybe that's what I just like to do, and maybe that's what I should do. That's when I decided to go get my counseling.
So you really liked hands-on patient care, and you try to get to know your patients and really help them out by not just waltzing in, handing them pill, and then disappearing, right? I understand that. Definitely.
So that motivated me to shift more in the area of counseling. So I got a Master of Arts in Counseling. And it was, actually there was a step in between that. From the hospital nursing, I went into high-risk pregnancies, and I monitored women who were on bed rest to prevent preterm birth. And we would call our patients every day and see how they were doing on bed rest. And for most women, that's a real struggle, especially if they happen to have kids at home. So we would encourage them to stay on bed rest, to drink lots of fluids, and when talking to them, would find out, oh, I got up and I did the dishes, or I vacuumed, or I did a load of laundry. And I found most of the nurses working with our patients would get irritable and frustrated and annoyed with them, where I found I enjoyed the challenging patients and figuring out, well, what did prompt you to do that? And how did you feel afterwards? And what is the lesson here? And how can we do better with the bed rest going forward? So even in that nursing aspect, I realized I was really more interested in the patient's values and their struggles and wanting to help them in that way, where the other nurses just wanted to kind of explain what they should do or shouldn't do and leave it at that. So that moved me into counseling more. Because I enjoyed
that. So what kind of things did you do to help those patients in those situations? What did you do?
I would help them envision the baby. Because when they're pregnant, it's like you can forget at times that you're pregnant. But I would have them sit and picture the baby and talk to the baby, dream their goals with the baby so that it was more real and relevant, more real than the dishes in the sink. So I found by talking to them in this way and finding their values and getting them connected in a different way with their values, that I was able to change their behavior rather than just telling them what to do.
Well, that's interesting. That's very good. So you continued your education even more. You went on, you know, other paths to learn, more therapies. Let's explore them. What else did you do?
Okay, so I got my master's in counseling, and I spent my first year with clients, giving them tools and letting them know if they just ate well, if they just practiced I feel messages and all the cool things you learn in counseling, I found most clients did really well. But I had a few that didn't seem to do much better at all, despite all the lessons and what I was trying to help them with. And out of frustration, I referred them to a psychiatrist. And this handful of patients came back so much better and stronger that I felt a little guilty for holding back that path for them. So even though I just finished my master's in the spring in counseling, by the fall I'd been enrolled in master's as a psych mental health nurse practitioner so I could add medications to my tool bag.
Interesting. Wow. You spent a lot of time in school. Could you still work while you were in school?
I did. I worked pretty much full-time all the way through school. In fact, in my master's program as psych mental health, I had just given birth to my son. So he was 8 weeks old when I started the program. And I found that I was a little nervous, not sure how I was going to study and do it with a newborn. But newborns sleep all the time. So I got a lot of time for doing my thesis and projects, and it worked out great.
Well, you're very lucky. I haven't heard that kids sleep all the time. You know, boy, you took on a lot to chew, so to speak. In addition to you working your certification as a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, then you went to be certified as a cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. Why did you do that? Explain.
Well, when I worked with high-risk moms, I also worked with a lot of women postpartum, and I got a lot of referrals as a counselor because they knew that I was a labor and delivery nurse and a high-risk pregnancy nurse. So I would get a lot of referrals from OBGYNs for postpartum depression. And in working with them to help get through the postpartum depression, I noticed a pattern that in hindsight kind of seems obvious, that most of these women weren't sleeping. And so I started focusing a little more on that. Where can we get you more sleep? Where can you take another nap? How can we add up your total hours sleep from 3 hours a day to at least 6 or 7, even if we have to break it up? And I found by doing that, their postpartum depression went away. And so I was thinking, well, maybe insomnia is the cause of the depression and anxiety, not that she's just going through a hormonal shift, which it does exist and does happen, but maybe we need to focus more on the insomnia than the depression, which I started doing, and that's what prompted me to get certified in cognitive behavioral for insomnia to help people have more tools to sleep better, faster, deeper, and that's also where I got into more breath work and hypnotherapy.
Explain a little bit of some of the tools you used to use. I'm sure we have some listeners who could benefit from the information. What you did to help them get more sleep? What are some of the tricks you trade, so to speak?
Well, there are a lot of good, simple, basic sleep hygiene. You can look that up and find them. But some of my favorites that people often overlook is the temperature of the room. To get a good deep sound sleep, you want it about 67 degrees Fahrenheit or lower at night. I'm surprised how many people keep it up around 75 or 73, and they find just by decreasing the temp, they sleep better. That's one. The others are talked about more, like the hours before bedtime. You don't want to spend watching too much TV. The light can affect your melatonin, which is your sleep hormone, and decrease the production, so sleep can be harder if you're watching TV or have a lot of lights on. I usually suggest as few lights as possible after dinner to have calmer routines. Don't look at your work email. Don't watch a horror movie or war movie or violent one. Those things are kind of obvious, but getting back to some that aren't as obvious, sometimes people wake too early because the sunlight comes in. So blocking the light, either by an eye mask or the curtains that block the light, that can be really beneficial to sleeping in a little later. Another problem I find people do is they'll wake up in the middle of the night and say, well, I'm already awake. I might as well get up and go pee. So they get up and go pee, and the more they do that, the more their bladder shrinks at night, the more it wakes them up to go. So those are just a few of the ones that sometimes people overlook.
I find it interesting. You say don't watch exciting movies or things like that, or scary movies. But, you know, most people have dinner. That's when they watch television.
Right.
You know, their eyes are affixed on TV sets, and you're saying that's not the best thing to do to get sleep, good sleep.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Winding down is really important and induce good sleep. And counting your blessings. Going through the things you're grateful for as you're lying in bed instead of worrying about what didn't get done or what you have to do tomorrow, that doesn't promote good, deep sleep. So just getting into some basic habits like this can make a huge difference.
Well, that's very interesting. Lack of sleep is one of the major problems that people have these days.
If you read
a lot, you know, what doctors will tell you, nobody's getting enough sleep. How much sleep do you think it is good to get? I've heard between 7 and 8 hours of sleep. Some people deserve more. What do you recommend?
You're right. I think 7.5 should be a good minimum. And it's amazing how many people get 5 or 6 and kind of brag about it. I get so much done. But I find if I can convince them to stretch it out to 7.5 using some of the tools, they're usually functioning a lot better than they even knew they could. So they didn't even know the difference until they try. Some people need 9 hours. But for every person sleeping 7 hours, there should be somebody sleeping 9. And that's not the way our society deals with sleep or embraces it. So yeah. I would say most people need more sleep, and they don't know it until they try. So I encourage them to try. I think it's every bit as important as nutrition and exercise, and in some ways more. But we put it down at the bottom of our list, often make it a luxury instead of an essential, which it is.
Well, that's interesting. Listen, you also studied hypnotherapy and neuro-linguistic programming. I'm not sure what that is, but why hypnotherapy? What made you want to study that?
Well, like I said, I was kind of curious with music about the soul and the subconscious, and I've learned that most of our decisions come from our subconscious before it even arises into our consciousness. Like if you're in the kitchen and you're thinking, I want some cereal, that has already floated up from your subconscious before you're even aware. So when people don't incorporate the subconscious into their habits and the things they want to change, they're missing a huge opportunity. So I love doing hypnotherapy. I started doing it with sleep for postpartum women. And the next area I got really excited about working with was people who wanted to stop smoking. Because I found it was very easy to shift them from their state of needing a cigarette to, I was born a non-smoker. That does make sense. I don't need to keep smoking. And it works so well, I offer a money-back guarantee.
That's good. Money-back guarantee. You're very positive in what you do because, you know, it's hard. Quitting smoking is hard. I've been there too, but I know many others. You are just such a, in a unique position as a nurse. I don't know of many nurses who, in effect, you hang out your own shingle, and other doctors, you know, psychologists and people like that refer patients to you. Are you kind of unique, would you say, in this field?
Yes and no. To clarify, as a nurse practitioner, we are required to be supervised by a physician. And in psych mental health, it's a little looser than in some of the other fields. But I am supervised. But for the most part, yes, it is my practice. I see my own clients. And I just feel blessed to be able to have all these different tools. So when they walk in, I can assess and see what might work for them and what how I can connect and meet them where they're at rather than just pulling out a formula and saying you need to do this. So it makes my work so much fun. I really thought that I might be retired by now years ago, but I have such a passion for this. It gives me such joy and energy that I want to do this as long as I can. It's just that much fun.
Give me a success story. I got to believe you have a lot of them. You've been doing this for a long time now. You know, a story of someone who was referred to you and came to you, maybe they couldn't sleep or they couldn't stop smoking, whatever. And you helped them achieve success. Can you give me an idea?
Yeah, let's see. Well, like I said, usually the most profound, fast ones are the ones who want to stop smoking. And I had a client who had tried to stop many times, who even did hypnotherapy once and succeeded for a month or two and then went back to smoking and had read somewhere that a second time it doesn't work. First time it often does, but second time it doesn't. And after that, there's the hypnotherapy. There's no point in trying it. But since I've worked so much with the subconscious, I was able to explain to him that that isn't true because when you quit, your body has told you, I don't need this. I can exist without this and I can do this. So I helped him reframe the truth, which is, one, he was born a non-smoker. He doesn't have to smoke. Two, he was able to quit for long enough that it's clear that he doesn't have to smoke. And then we went a little deeper. I used some of the therapy instead of just hypnosis, saying, what happened? You know, you went 7 months. You were doing really well. What shifted? What was the trigger? What happened? So we go into that a little more deeply. And then he discovered he really was in control. It was his decision to pick up the cigarette because he believed he was immune and safe and that the hypnotherapy meant that he could smoke whenever he wanted and stop whenever he wanted. And so I had to help him reframe and understand that. So we did another hypnotherapy session. He walked out and he hasn't smoked since. So that's what I love doing.
That's wonderful if you've got him to do that right then and there.
Yeah.
Listen, you said that your studies, like all of the education you have, you continually find new ways to use your education in your practice, you know, today. And I'm wondering, for example, what about your education in music, where you got a degree in music education? Do you find that helps you today? And if so, how and what you're doing with patients?
In probably less ways than some of my other tools. But I do believe sometimes I can connect with people, and I've even worked with some musicians, and I find that their heart and soul is open up to the subconscious. So it's easier to do work when people have a strong connection with music. It's easier to work with them because part of their brain is just open to going past the conscious thoughts. Music is more of a feeling. It's a stirring. And so I just find it an easier path. It's really as simple as that.
I find this whole thing really interesting. The way you can help people, and for example, the issues that they bring to you when they come to see you. What about anxiety and panic, and also weight loss. Those are issues that you help people with. Are you successful? Weight loss, that's a tough one. How do you handle that?
You're right. You nailed it. Weight loss is the toughest one. And even with hypnotherapy, it's the toughest one. That's why I use other tools like intermittent fasting, our 72-hour fast, because we're born eating. We're not born smoking. A big difference when you're doing hypnotherapy. And we use food as a way to self-soothe in many, many, many ways. So there's so many other barriers and things that are involved in weight loss. It can be related to our hormone issue, or it can be related to lack of sleep. If you get less than 6 hours sleep, you are more inclined to put on 14 extra pounds a year. So there's so many things tied to weight that it is more complicated. So that requires more time, more therapy, more tools. But things like panic attack and fear, I love those for hypnotherapy because you're not born with a fear of flying. That's something you develop. So if you can go back and remind the person in hypnotherapy, this wasn't you, this isn't you, and kind of take it out again, you can get over fear of flying just with a hypnotherapy session. You can get over phobias of height. So you're right, weight loss is the toughest one because that's something worth doing.
Let me ask you how you work with patients. You know, so much is separated. You're in Newport Beach, California. Can you help somebody who might be hearing us in Cincinnati, for example, or, you know, in New York or wherever? Do you work with the phone or is it all in person? How do you work?
I do work with, it's telemed, so it's a secure site, and we can see each other on it, and I've done hypnotherapy on it. I do therapy as well. So, yes, that's doable. And, in fact, after COVID, during COVID, all of my clients were telemed. And as they started opening up and coming back, today, two-thirds of mine still prefer to do telemed. It's just easier. It takes less time. They can do it in their jammies if they want. So life is just a little simple and easier that way. So, yes. I do telemed as well.
Well, you really have turned your original plan of just being a nurse into a whole new ball game. And I gather you love what you're doing, and it's really interesting to you.
I do, and I deserve. You say turned it into. I was just kind of wandering where I wanted to with my curiosity and passion, which is a thing I try to teach all my clients. Follow your passion, follow your heart. That will lead you to what brings you joy.
Well, that's really what it's all about. Shirley, yours is an amazing story. I think you have the most amazing educational background of anyone I've ever talked to. Like I can think. You are so well-trained in so many different areas. It's amazing what you're doing now. Congratulations for being successful and being happy what you're doing. That's really important.
I love it. Yeah.
For anybody listening who wants to get in touch with you, let me give your website out. It's ShirleyFurmanHealing.com. Shirley Furman, F-U-R-M-A-N, healing.com. If you go there, you'll learn how to get in touch with Shirley. You'll learn about all the various things she does to help clients. And I think you'll realize she might be able to help you if you're having some of these problems. All righty? Shirley, thanks for being back with us again. It was lovely talk to you. I learned a lot. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Doug. It was a pleasure. I enjoyed it a lot, too.
You're very, very welcome. All right, everybody, that's the end of this edition. Hope you learned something from Shirley. I know you did, and it's been great having her. I'm fascinated by her. She really is a remarkable lady. So we'll be back again next time here on Close Up Talk Radio. I hope you'll join us then. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Nice to have been with you. Have a great day, everybody, and take care. We'll see you soon.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.